Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as I utilize the information we provide today and take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when leadership has never been more important. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Dr. Sam Adeyemi. Based in Atlanta, Sam leads leaders. More than 3 million, yes, I just said 3 million chief executive officers and high-performing individuals follow Sam on top social media sites. He holds a doctorate in strategic leadership from Virginia's Regent University. He and his wife, Nikkei, have three children and founded Daystar Christian Center in Lagos, Nigeria. He is also the author of the very enlightening, inspiring, and timely book, Dear Leader, Your Flagship Guide to Successful Leadership. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Sam.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you might be speaking from today, please.
Well, I am speaking from Atlanta, Georgia.
You just made this host and a lot of listeners very jealous. One of the most beautiful places in the world, that's for sure. Sorry
Thank you.
to say, Sam, we've only got about 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about you, your incredible life, this wonderful book. We're going to just jump right now into the deep end of the pool. Sam, you say the measure of a leader's success is not in acquisition, but in contribution. If profits aren't the measure of success in your view, what is? Help us out here, please.
Thank you so much, Greg, once again for having me here on Thank God for Monday. And you know, the question you asked speaks to the heart of my story, right? We have a lot in common because, right? I am also a pastor. And some 28 years ago, I went on radio and began to teach people how to succeed, right?
Wow.
Right? I began to give people hope. And how I went about it was the real big issue. I was a young man who was desirous of making progress with my life. And then I was getting frustrated. And God's answer to me was go on radio and teach people how to succeed. Because I was reading the Bible, I was reading books, I was asking the question, is there a sure way to turn out well in this life? You know?
Wow.
So when I had that inspiration, go on radio, the question on my mind was, what gives me the authority to go on radio to teach people how to succeed? Am I successful yet? Right? The inspired answer I got in my heart was, it's not your achievement that qualifies you to speak to people. It is the fact that the Lord is leading you to do it. So do it. Just obey. Okay?
Wow.
Now, I had been wondering why people were not inviting me to speak at conferences, because I love to teach. I love to speak.
You are.
And it was like, so why are people not inviting me? When I went on radio, I got the answer. One, they did not know about me. Secondly, they did not know what my message was. And then thirdly, I was too focused on myself. I was, all my definition of success was to have a good job, to get some good pay, to, you know, have some nice cars, have some money in the bank, have a nice house, right? That was my definition. But then I'm so grateful that the Lord turned my focus from myself and turned it on other people. I was underestimating what I knew, even though, yes, I read them from books, but that had put me way ahead of other people. And I was learning a big lesson there, that at the highest level of success, you actually help other people to succeed. That's why I've now been saying all over the world to people that real success is not about acquisition. It's about contribution.
Oh, that is so beautiful, so Franciscan. Now, we hear, Sam, that more than 3 million CEOs and upwardly mobile professionals who follow you on social media have anticipated this great book of yours, Dear Leader. Tell us a little about this great book, please.
Thank you so much. When I discovered that at the highest level of success, your focus is not on yourself, it's actually on other people, then I realized, oh, helping other people to succeed, that is leadership. Influencing other people to be able to achieve goals, to be able to realize their potentials, that is what leadership is about. So I began to study about leadership. And I came, a reverend gentleman in my church many years ago said to me, there's something about you. There's something about you. I want you to read this book. Then he gave me the book titled Christian Leadership by Donald S. Altman.
Wow. Now,
this was 34 years ago. The book was already an old book at that time. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But the surprising thing was that the author said, yes, most people believe that few people are born to lead, everybody else is born to follow.
Sure.
He said, those ideas are dead. Those ideas about leadership are dead. He said they were pushed, by philosophers and so on. He said, but when you read the Bible and you read that God created man in his own image and gave him the capacity for dominion, he said, you would have to accept that everybody created in God's image has the capacity to influence other people for good.
Wow.
So he said, look, everyone has the potential to lead. The author listed the qualities of a leader and said, you go through this list, you would see you have some of them already. You have some of the qualities already. The ones you don't have, you can cultivate them. That was a paradigm shifting moment for me. That was paradigm shifting. Why? Because I am an introvert. I used to be extremely shy, extremely reserved. So if I was in a group when I was much younger, and you asked somebody to volunteer to lead the group, I would be the last person to volunteer.
Oh, that's amazing.
I did not see myself as a leader.
Sure.
After I read the book, I accepted that leadership is in my destiny, my God-ordained destiny. I have the potential, I have the capacity, and I began to cultivate the qualities of a leader. So a whole chapter in my book is actually devoted to my leadership journey, just to inspire everyone to know everyone can lead.
Wow.
Right now, if you have more bad people exerting influence in our world and good people, then the world is going to get darker and darker. All of us need to shine our light. Secondly, leadership is a set of character qualities and skills, people's skills. So the way the world is going right now, like you said, so much disruption, so much darkness. So, and I don't envy leaders at all. People that occupy leadership positions, people are having to make decisions they never made before. We're facing situations we never had before. So I wrote this book to supply tools that leaders can use to address various situations. And right now I'm saying to everybody, the world is in desperate need of good leadership right now. That is why I wrote my book, Dear Leader, Your Flagship Guide to Successful Leadership.
Oh, thank you so much that you did that. Certainly, this is indeed a flagship guide to wonderful leadership. Now, you've been teaching the highest of the highest leaders, Sam, the C-suite leaders from around the world, to strategically align their organizations. Is there a common mistake that you see these C-suite managers making?
Oh, thank you for that question. I think the basic thing I hear a lot from the topmost leaders in organizations is the fact that their leaders at the highest level don't have good enough people skills.
Wow.
They say people rise to the top because they have the capacity to achieve goals. They have strong drive, right? They are self-motivated. They are achievers. So they get promoted from one level to the other, and then they're there at management level. However, for the most part, their people skills are not good enough. They literally crush people to achieve goals. Right? So at the end of the day, if the organization is achieving goals, but the people are not happy, they're not fulfilled, then you have a high rate of labor turnover. People exit the system. Good talents. The fight for talents is the greatest struggle right now for organizations. After COVID, especially, Greg, after COVID, everything changed. COVID changed human psychology. People had to review their lives. People had to reprioritize. Many of the things people thought were very important, people got to realize that they're not that important, right?
Yes.
So like my cousin, who's a corporate executive here in Atlanta, he ordered a pair of shoes, expensive shoes that he really likes, just before COVID. So by the time the shoes arrived, we were already in the lockdown.
Oh, gee.
So he got the shoes out of the box, put them on, and was walking around his living room. So his wife began to laugh and said, "Oh, your shoes are really beautiful." He said, "Thank you." So she said, "So where are you going to go with those shoes right now?" There was nowhere to go. Everybody was on lockdown. So people have reprioritized their lives. Some saw some things about leaders. They saw how leaders value their success more than the lives of their employees.
Wow.
How leaders value money more than the lives of their employees. So some of those employees are telling themselves, you know what? I need to make decisions for my own life right now. So leaders right now, some have me coach some of their leaders, you know, to pay attention to people, that they are the most valuable assets any organization has. And this also is true for the family. It's also true for the nation, that you may not write the humans on your asset register, but the humans are the greatest assets God put on our planet.
No doubt about that. Being a former CPA in recovery, I can attest the people aren't on the balance sheet. They are indeed the most important asset. Now, you call your podcast Fit to Lead.
Right.
Is there one or two ways to build leadership fitness capacity? Help us out here, please, Sam.
Thank you, Greg. I draw this illustration, interestingly, from one of the greatest leaders in the Bible, David.
Ah.
And yeah, there's something interesting said about him in the Psalms, that he led the people with the integrity of his heart and with the skillfulness of his hands. So I say to leaders, you need the character and the competence combination.
Wow.
I was asked on a TV show, if you had to choose one between character and competence, which would you choose? I said, I can't choose. You've got to have the two. If somebody's got good character but has no competence, no skills, I said, it's like you getting on a bus, right? And then they tell you, oh, the driver is such a good man. He's a good man. He's a very honest man, never told a lie and all that. He's so kind. However, he never went to driving school. Nobody taught him how to drive, and so on. I said, would you comfortably sit there in the bus? No. So being a good man is different from being able to drive a car. To drive a car or bus, you need skills. So I say it's the same thing with leadership. It's not enough to just be a good man. That's the foundation. That's so important. But you've got to have the skills. And then you can't just have the skills and not have character. I say what you would have is a sophisticated crook, right? So I say to develop your capacity for leadership, you've got to focus on building your character, and you've got to focus on building people skills and then building some technical skill in some area.
That's a great analogy and a wonderful combination, no question about it. Now, I think we would all agree that it's important to make friends when seeking success. You go a step further, Sam. You think it's important to make the right friends. Share with us about this differentiation, please.
Thank you. See, at the end of the day, we're just the sum total of our thoughts and our emotions. You know, I observe the principle that what goes in through the eyes and the ears eventually enters the heart.
Oh, wow.
So that basic principle drives so many parts of life. It's the reason why education is important, right? You just go to school day after day, you hear some words, you know, they stay with you, and
Sure.
then you're right, you grow up, and then I mean, like you went to college, and then you had those accounting words over and over and over. And then at the end of the day, they said you were an accountant. Yes, right. So the same thing for the person that becomes a doctor. Now, this principle drives the advertising industry, right? You see an advert over and over, you hear it over and over. Somewhere,
Sure.
right? It enters your heart, it influences your decision making. And that's where friends come in, because the people that are closest to you, they influence your thinking. They influence your thinking at a deep level. They influence your emotions. So ultimately, I mean, I heard someone use an illustration, or actually, it was an exercise. He said, take a sheet of paper, write the names of the seven people closest to you. He said, when you're done, look at that list. He said, you're looking at your future. He said, it's a principle. Your life would just not get better than the lives of the people on that list. And it was, what?
Oh my.
Right? So we need to be a bit more conscious. And if I'll refer again to the Bible in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Right? So it's
Sure.
the association first that determines the degree to which a man is blessed. So that's why I emphasize you could literally just change your life by changing one person on that list. I
Wow.
have had. Right, I have had mentors and whose relationship with me were just life-changing, right? And it's the same thing with friends. So at every point in time, we need to be reviewing. Some It's more comfortable to stay with people that think like you because they don't put your mind under pressure. They don't stretch your mind, right? But
Sure.
when you hang around people that stretch your thinking, it may be uncomfortable, but actually they are the ones that help you to grow.
That is so brilliant, no doubt about it. It's ironic because I live with five other Franciscan brothers.
Right.
And while I learn from all of them, I especially learn from the ones whose thinking is counter or much different than my own.
Right.
Because you're right, they stretch my mind and ultimately my heart stretches as a result. Now, there are certain people who think it's ridiculous that failure can turn into success. I perceive you think differently on this, Sam. Can failure really turn into success? And if so, how?
Oh, thank you. This is a subject that is really intriguing because we assume that failure is the opposite to success.
Sure.
Yet it actually is not that way. Okay. So I said, look around you, look at all the things that man has created, all the things that we've invented. And almost everything began with experiments, right?
Oh, okay.
Right? So
Sure.
in high school, we were taken into the lab and we did some experiments. They said they were experiments, which means they were tests, they were trials. And then, so to invent anything valuable, we carry out loads and loads of experiments, and then eventually we find what works. Why is it that as we grow older, our capacity for experimenting practically disappears and we expect things to work out the first time? Life does not work like that. The truth, therefore, is that success actually grows out of failure.
Wow.
Each failure moves you closer to your success. So that means we need to switch our thinking about failure and not see failure as an enemy. We need to see failure as a friend.
Whoa. Boy,
Somebody
that's
says,
very bold.
right? Somebody says, so how do I succeed? I say, fail faster.
Oh my. Oh, that's brilliant. Fail faster. Wow. Boy, that makes a lot of sense. No doubt about that. Now, we talked early on in the show in the intro. This is a time of turbulence, of uncertainty. And with that, Sam, comes stress. I bet you have a couple of ways and tips that you can share with the listeners and me today. How can we manage stress? Help us out here, please.
Thank you so much. Okay, so there is an amount of tension that is appropriate because human potential is not released until we're under pressure. The best of human potential is not released until we're under pressure. Like I say to people, the place to get the fastest person in the world may not be the Olympics. Even though I love the Olympics, I say if you could just be there when someone came face to face with a lion in the
Oh my.
forest, if you could time them, you would find the fastest man in the world there. Right? So when we're in danger, we tend to do things that we'll not do on a normal day. So there's an amount of tension that is just okay, right, for us. But when it is excessive, then it takes our systems, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, takes them to dimensions they were not designed to handle. At that point, the body begins to secrete chemicals in excessive quantities, and this begins to break down the body. And then,
Wow.
because the chemicals are not running in the right quantities, it also begins to affect the brain and the mind. So, the first principle for dealing with stress, in my view, is scheduling rest.
Wow.
it's been, this principle has been there since the creation of man. You work 6 days, you rest on the seventh, right? Take at least 1 day off work. Tune out, right? And allow your system to recuperate.
Interesting,
right? Interestingly also, you have the daily provision from the design of our world that you have the day and the night. So on a daily basis, there is sleep, getting adequate sleep. Right now, the doctors are saying that sleep is actually has more impact on the quality of our health than exercise.
Really?
Right? That's what they're saying right now, that a lot of problems are caused by lack of sleep. So we need to plan for sleep. And there are certain things we do that do not allow us to get the quality of sleep. So the length is not enough. The quality is also important. So the doctors are saying, look, don't be looking at your screen just before you go to sleep.
Oh, sure.
Right? It puts your mind in a state that will not allow you to get the right quality of sleep. And then we've got to schedule the vacations, right? We've got to schedule the vacations. and just it's amazing how, you know, in my own experience, when I scheduled the vacation with my wife, the first time we traveled on vacation outside of Nigeria then, out on vacation, I had so much clarity because my mind was not clouded.
That's beautiful.
I got an inspired idea. We got back home. I executed the idea and our church exploded. Our church multiplied 10 times in 1 year.
Oh my goodness. Because of an idea you had on vacation.
On vacation when I was
arrested.
So my understanding of it was that my system was clogged. The ideas were there hanging, but my mind was filled with too much, you know, for me to catch the inspired idea. People think that to succeed more, you just got to work more. And these days, people are saying, no, you've got to work smarter. Do the thinking first. When there's quality thinking, then you work hard, you'll get better results for your hard work.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Sadly, believe it or not, Sam, we could talk all day. We've only got about 3 minutes, but I want to ask you one question, and I want to find out where the listeners can buy your great book. But before we go into that, your Daystar Leadership Academy has utilized digital and in-person training long before the pandemic and actually since. Do you have one most important principle for leading remotely when you're not co-located with people, please?
Thank you. I'm just going to say, at a basic level, everyone needs to be loved. So whether you're seeing them physically or not, just make sure that you have genuine love, genuine care, genuine empathy for people, that it is not only about tasks and goals and targets all the time. That person that you are seeing on the screen is a full-blooded human. They're going through stuff. And when you're in the same space physically, it's actually easier for you to pick somebody's mood, see whether they're happy or not happy. But now you're not seeing them most of the time. So whatever little time you have, prioritize finding out how they're faring, how they're doing, okay? Prioritize that over the job. When you love people, they'll love you back. When they love you back, they'll help you to succeed.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. We've saved the most important question, Sam, for last. And where can our loyal listeners purchase Dear Leader? How can they best follow you and add to that 3 million that you're leading right now, certainly?
Thank you so much, Greg. So Dear Leader, your flagship guide to successful leadership, is on Amazon. It's there in hardback, paperback. It's there in Kindle. The audiobook will be out in just a few weeks. We'll also have the audiobook. And So people can find me on my website, samadeyemi.com, samadeyemi.com. I'm on Instagram at the Sam Adeyemi. I'm on Twitter at Sam_Adeyemi. Thank you for having me, Greg. It's been a brilliant.
The honor has been all ours. Listeners, no excuse here. Sam is all over the place, so follow him. There's a lot of great stuff on his website and on Twitter, these other social media sites, Insights, et cetera, or Instagram. But also, please do yourselves a great favor. Pick up one copy of his wonderful book, Dear Leader, Your Flagship Guide to Successful Leadership. And this makes a fabulous gift. And as he said before, we are all leaders. Pick up at least one for yourself and one, if not more, for others. Share the good. We got a great Franciscan on the show today. He could have held on to the good. He didn't have to write this book. He wrote it. He came on the show. He shared the good. It's your turn now to share the good. Dr. Sam, we cannot thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened. We've been very much inspired. Continued tremendous contribution and all this fabulous work you're doing literally around the world.
Thank you so much for having me. And have an amazing day.
Yes, you too, Dr. Sam. Thank you. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Dr. Sam does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.